We are indeed. Indeed we are. Let me, if I can, set a little bit of a direction, a little bit of a pathway where we want to go today so that we can get a little bit of a focus on where we're headed. And you can begin by the Spirit to just begin to have the Holy Spirit channel your thinking in this direction, okay? So by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is here with us today, we, in every way, may He captivate our minds. May He captivate our attention. May we set aside for this next 20 minutes every other care and concern. That, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to us by Your Word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. We loose Your Word, and we loose the hearing in connection with Your Word. We'd like to speak and share out of the Word today in regards to God's covenant, and take a look at the progressive plan of fulfillment of that covenant under New Covenant. We're going to go back, take a look at Old Covenant. We want to emphasize, obviously, the New Covenant. We're going to take a look at some of the symbols of God's covenant relationship with us, and then our corresponding responsiveness and the ultimate fulfillment of that in terms of our responsiveness. Okay, there's a lot there. So we've got a lot of grounds to cover. So listen up here. All right, what I'd first like to do is to establish a principle. I want to establish this principle. It's a principle that all of you are familiar with, but I want to hammer it home again so that it's something that, shall we say, apodictically is undeniable within your life, okay? So first we're going to take a look at this principle. We're going to go into the Old Testament. We're going to come into the New Testament. We're going to nail this thing down, and then we're going to move on to the heart, okay? So here's the principle. Follow with me closely. For those of you who have your scriptures, Exodus chapter 20. You probably all know that this is the great unfolding of the law, the Ten Commandments. And even today, of course, the Jewish people are still under the law, abidance by the Ten Commandments, right? And for most of human history, the law has been that by which people have governed themselves and even the nations in many respects, okay? So let's take a look at what the law is that for thousands of years has been the God-given commandment and the way by which mankind has lived. We're going to juxtapose that to, obviously, New Covenant. Okay? So let's take a quick look here. We're going to highlight some verses quickly as we move briskly with alacrity through chapter 20. All right. So picking matters up, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 3, chapter 20. Okay? Coming down then to verse 5, you shall not worship them or serve them. Coming down to verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath rest unto me. Coming over to verse 12, honor your father and mother. Verse 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Okay, and so forth. Pretty much we cited 10 of them there rather quickly, right? This today is still by which mankind lives. And Paul, who was, now talking a little bit about New Testament, Paul, who was a Pharisee, educated under Gamaliel, under the highest educational system of that time, was steeped in this level of thinking, this depth of thinking, this way of life. And even today, Israel and the Jewish people, this is the law and the commandments by which they live. Paul, who came out of that, was redeemed, was delivered, was transformed out of that way of life by a revelation of Christ, had a lot different way of looking at all of this and had a lot to say about it, which we're going to look at here today. The point being is that God was starting something again with mankind. He started something through Moses in the realm of the law. But under New Testament covenant, there's another realm. And this was so evident to me today in the worship. We've had significant people leave our body lately. A couple of Johns that come to my mind. And I'm quite aware in the worship this morning that although they are not of this realm, they are one with us and they are participating with us. But blessed are you because you are here. You have a form, you have a life that is of this realm. And the great thing that's happening is this realm is changing. And you are the progenitors of a changing realm. Okay, so we want to talk about what this changing realm is and what the earth is going to experience as the people come alive to what God in them means. The Old Testament was filled with thou shalt not, thou shalt do, thou shalt not, thou shalt do. It had nothing to do, nor did Adam and Eve, even when they saw God, walked with God, they had no real recognition or understanding of Him in a relationship with God. This is an important point. And now in this generation, after the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the Eternal One, He's resurrected and He's imparted His Spirit to us. We are now living in another realm. And we're just beginning to just open up the door in this realm. Okay? But it's this realm that we want to explode upon the earth. And it will. And it's starting in your lives. Okay? So whether you're 95 or 5, I don't think we have anyone that young here. But a lot of maybe 90-year-olds in here, huh? Coming back to this whole every day, there should be such drive to live, such hope in today, because as the light, chapter 24 of Matthew, as the light comes from the east to the west, what is that light? Like the sunlight, right? As the rising of the sun rises, so is the dawning day of Christ Jesus. He's closer now than He was yesterday, okay? So there should be great hope within your life. Not depression, not negativity. There should be great hope in your life for today, for tomorrow. And there should be great expectation that God is doing more today than He did yesterday, and He's going to do more tomorrow than today. All right? So there should be great expectation in all of our lives. All right? So we get a little bit off here. But coming back to the law, all right, and the way mankind has lived pretty much, to then we want to take a look at what New Covenant is, okay? All right. And let's now take a look in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All right. The book of Matthew speaks a great deal about the kingdom of God. And as such, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the great Beatitudes. We're going to look specifically, again, this is all just establishing a principle here. So we want to move through chapter 5 briskly here. Chapter 5, picking matters up in 18. Matthew is describing, again, the difference between the law and now New Covenant in the kingdom age, right? In the realm of spirit, okay? Because all of this is really, I'm describing to you, life in the spirit. This is where all this is headed. Life for us in the spirit, which is our spiritual heritage, okay? Which is our spiritual destiny, which is our right in God, which in Jesus Christ, He's made the way for us. Okay? He's the way, the truth, and the life. All right. So picking matters up, verse 18 of 5. All there? For truly I say to you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. So the law is going to be accomplished. But Paul talked about who can accomplish the law. No one can accomplish the law. Who can accomplish the law? But praise be through Jesus Christ, who's been able to be the fulfillment of the law. Through His redeeming blood and the power of His resurrection and His life coming forth within us, we can fulfill the law. In fact, even more than that will we be fulfilling, as we'll read here in Matthew. We're going to be walking beyond the law in a higher level that even is way beyond any of the thing that the law has ever mentioned and anything that Moses ever mentioned. Okay? Let's take a further look here. Moving down then to verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a tall order here, dear ones. And even Paul himself recognized that he could not fulfill the law within his flesh. And the great thing about what's been happening here for about 50 years is that this whole realm of spirit that's been unfolding and the word that's been flowing for 50 to 100 years around the turn of the century, has been speaking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the resurrected Jesus Christ within you, and what that means in your life and through your life, and the associated power of that life in you. Remember, the kingdom of God is not word, but it is in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So that is what we're after. All right. So, verse 21, you have heard that the ancients, we just read, we're told, you will not commit murder. You'll not commit murder. But I say to you that whoever is liable to the court, but I say to you, verse 22, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Anyone who's angry with his brother is guilty before the court. It's beyond that of committing murder. It's analogous to committing murder. Well, this is pretty. Who can listen to these things? It's like the disciples told Christ, who can listen? Who can hear these things? Let alone who can do these things? All right. We're going to read a little bit more, so lest anyone think that they can do any of these things, okay? We hope that today you'll have such a full understanding that you can do nothing in yourself. But as Christ says, Paul says, I can do nothing within myself. But my strength is not in myself. My strength is in Him who loves me and who died for me. Whoever lives to pray for me and intercede for me that I might be where He is. This should be most exciting to you. It is to me. Amen. Okay, verse 22. I guess we read that. Okay, moving forward then. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in her heart. Okay. I think we're all guilty. Guys, probably all guilty. So what we're saying is that these things are impossible. In the natural realm that we've lived in and that we've known for all of life, these things are impossible. But the fantastic thing about it is that in Christ Jesus, as it says, He is above the law because He was before the law. In Him is the fulfillment of all the law that was written. He is the fulfillment of all the law. And He's bringing us into the fulfillment of all the law, that our righteousness will surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is absolutely tremendous. But how shall it come? By human effort, by human drive, by religion. I know a lot of the religions are built on, if I do this, pray five times a day, and if I do this, I'm right there. Boy, I'm just right at the top. Filthy rags. Sorry to disappoint everyone. It's coming by the whole life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to die. We're going to die in Christ, right? To be raised with Him, to walk in a new level of life. And that's where this whole word's headed, okay? We haven't gotten to the word yet. We're just talking about a principle here. All right. So I think we've hammered this thing home that the fulfillment of the law and even beyond the law that Matthew speaks about and the kingdom realm must be, undeniably, is something that mankind cannot accomplish in the religious world. It must be a new creation of Jesus Christ coming forth within a human race. This is why, of all God's creation, you are most special. Why? Because you were given a spirit. Animals don't have a spirit. Plant life doesn't have a spirit. They're going to be the beneficiaries of what's going to happen through your spirit. But as your spirit becomes more alive in God, you're going to change all creation. Romans 8. Okay. And your eternal oneness with God will forever be unfolding. I believe that this realm is really a precursor of what's happening for all eternity. We are setting the course now for all eternity. Who you will be, what you will believe, how you will live, all of that. It's a reflection of it. Okay. So, as more and more as the process of God's work with mankind moves from a realm of the law, maybe a flesh level, up to a soul level, the kingdom age is predominated by a realm of spirit, right? Satan is bound for 1,000 years, thank goodness. We execute that judgment, by the way. So the army of God is very much of a warring priesthood. A lot of people don't really know about that. That's a topic for another day. But a realm of spirit, dear ones, is coming. And may God usher us into that realm of spirit quickly. That we can really be the progenitors of a new age, basically. Another great word. Okay, so that is the principle. Do we have that understood? Do we? One further verse here. In verse 48. This, please. Therefore, you are to be almost perfect as your heavenly Father is. That's pretty good. Almost perfect. It's pretty good. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah. So, again, was Jesus Christ perfect? Yeah. He learned obedience to the things that He suffered, and He came into a perfection of spirit, didn't He? Again, He is our example, that we without him have nothing really, and we come into that same life that he had with the Father. Perfection is going to be ours. That's an elusive term, again, another day on that topic, but it is a state of your spirit, which is a realm of perfection in God. But more and more, we're coming into the day of spirit. So this is the point that I want to make. We must be living on a higher level than certainly the world, and we were given the spirit so that we could commune with God, who is spirit. We don't know him unless we commune spirit to spirit. You can know about God, and most of the religions of the world teach about God. About God. If you want to know about God, this isn't the place for you. Here, we're revealing who God is. This is what we want to speak. We want to speak spirit words of life to reveal who God is for you. We want to unlock realms of revelation so that you can know God in spirit and have a revelation of Jesus Christ personally, like Paul himself. Yeah. Others, everyone who really has a walk with God must have a true living revelation of who God is. And that comes only by the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to know a lot about him. A lot of theologians know a lot about the Bible, a lot about God. That doesn't mean they know God. I'll take someone who's meek and humble like Moses anytime over somebody else. Moses is a man who knew God. Moses is a man who knew the ways of God. Is anyone interested in knowing the ways of God in here? I believe because you are here, you are interested in knowing the ways of God. And God is very interested in showing himself with certain preparations and certain, shall we say, people that are really looking for him. Yeah. All right. That's the principle. We've got it. So a realm of spirit. This is the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish what God wants us to be and to have. All right? There's no way, other way. All right. So let's, in closing, shall we say, the two things I want to accomplish here is where it's a little bit longer than what I had anticipated. But I want to speak about the application of the principle. I want to talk about the application of this principle. Okay? And then I want to talk and give you some, shall we say, in the business world we refer to it as takeaways. What do we take away from this meeting? You know, what are the bullet points that I can walk away from and plan in my mind to, this was what the meeting was all about. So I'm going to give you maybe three, maybe four. I don't think we can handle much more than that. Usually three. I like to give three. Three is best. I'm going to give you three things that if you forget everything else, I hope you may, this first principle is very important. I want that first principle. I got to hammer that down forever. You got to understand that that is how that we've got to live and be and jump into this realm of spirit and live in this realm. And God's opening it up for us. But three things I want to give you as takeaways. That's it. All right? All right. So, because of time, for those of you that are true Bible students, you'll want to read. Now we're getting to the application of the principle, right? You'll want to read Exodus 36 through 40. Nice rainy day. Go home. Read it by the fireside, so to speak. Two great guys in there, Bezalel and Oholiab, great guys, had a lot of revelation from the Lord on the building of the actual tabernacle and the components to the tabernacle. Again, we talked about some of the symbolism. God did a lot in the Old Testament to bring forth symbols of what would be reality down life's road. Because remember, God has always been interested in taking what became a dismal beginning, and that's putting it mildly, to the human race and to God's created plan that went awry back to oneness with him. So all this time, God has been working to restore the restoration, to restore things back into oneness with him. Okay? All right. So you want to read those chapters. You'll also want to take a look at Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement. There's a lot there in terms of symbolism. The preparation that the priest had to go through, Aaron, to prepare to the once a year he could go in. I'm going to paraphrase this, kind of give you the Reader's Digest, you know, Cliff Notes version. He could go in once a year. Think of this. The high day of the year, the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people, still is today after 5,000 years of Moses. Moses was about 5,000 years ago. Yeah. And only one person, once a year, on one day of the year. That's it. That means all you people can't go into the... You can't. I can't. No one else. Just the high priest. Boy,
that it just doesn't sit well with me. My faith is not going to accept that. And I think you're here today to probably say the same thing.
She's not high priest. So, again, we're all high priests.
True.
When the veil in the temple was rent, it was open for all.
Correct. And that's where we're headed. It's exactly where we're headed. Because as the veil in the temple was rent, he has given access to all. And this is why all of us should be such rejoicing, believing expectations every day. I can have what the high priest did once a year, one time a year, and only one person did it.
Enoch called it the day of atonement.
Aha. Uh-huh. Who does?
God.
Okay. Okay.
Atonement.
Atonement. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So, let's take a look. That was the historical perspective of it, right? So I think we've kind of got that. Let's take a look at the now new covenant, right? Let's take a look at some of the symbolism here as the writer, probably Paul, in the book of Hebrews, lays out in chapter 9 of Hebrews. And this is then where I wanted to, and where we will finish. This will be our last scripture location, although we'll, shall we say, dig deeply into this chapter 9. And that would be picking up verse 1 through 4. Now, even the first covenant. We just talked about the first covenant, right? We've been talking about the temple, the holy of holies, the holy place, etc. The first company, covenant, had regulations of divine worship. You'll read about those. And the earthly sanctuary. Again, all very, very mystical. And we need to have God reveal this to us. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which there was the lampstand and the table, the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil, and this is the veil that was rent upon Christ's resurrection, right? There was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies. Having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, on which was a golden jar that held manna, Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tablets of the covenant. These were the tablets of stone that Moses came down the mountain on that were engraved by the hand of God, which were the Ten Commandments. Those were all in the Holy of Holies. So picture it with me. The altar of incense, the manna, Aaron's rod. You tracking with me here? And then the fourth thing was what? Stone tablets. So there are four things in the Holy of Holies. Okay, we're going to come back to that. Now, we have spoken about that repeatedly at different times, I think from this location as well. But these are most significant things, or shall we say, the takeaway. So I'm kind of giving you where the end is going here. These are some of the things that I want you to take away as you go back, and we leave and go our separate ways today, so to speak, in regards to what is ours, what we can expect by life in His presence under new covenant. Okay? Okay, just reading on here in chapter 9, picking up with verse 5. For above it were the cherubim, so forth. We can't speak about these things. This is verse 7. But into the second only the high priest entered once a year, not without taking blood, which he offered to himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit, so forth, talks about what the Holy Spirit's indicating now, that when Christ appears, verse 11, when Christ appears, as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the great and perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, like the tabernacle. That is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of the heifer, sprinkling those who had been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? All this accomplished in the law, even today, is not going to deliver man from dead works. It's not going to deliver man from a conscience that's not geared to loving God. It takes the power of the blood of Jesus Christ under new covenant and the whole message of restoration, redemption, transformation to bring a spirit life to people. This is why the washing of water with the word, the cleansing power of the baptism, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the constant power of his redeeming blood washes us so that we can live in the realm of the Spirit. Remember, the clearer the vision, the clearer the heart, the clearer the vision. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The clearer the heart, the purer the vision. Okay? Again, this is why the cleansing power of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to cleanse us. Not your works, not your acts, not what you do. It's the cleansing power of the Word and of the power of the Spirit that's going to cleanse you. Remember, Christ told the disciples, great word that Terry brought a couple weeks back, now you are clean because of the Word that I've spoken to you. That's verse, 3 of chapter 15 of John, I believe. But it's this power of the Word being spoken and the cleansing, anointing power of the resurrected blood of Christ that's bringing a clarity of vision and is bringing a purity of heart so that our spirits are more alive to God. We're living more and more in a realm of spirit. Out of the realm of the soul, which is what the world is driving you to, which is Satan, who controls the power of the air, is going to drive the world to. It looks so amazing, the man that comes on, of the miracles, signs, and wonders, and things that he speaks. He's going to deceive the whole world. But you're not going to be deceived, because the power of the Spirit is bringing forth a fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to take a look at in Aaron's rod. Remember, Aaron's rod budded, which is amazing, without roots. Right? And that's the thing that's going to be the difference. So anyway, we're getting on ahead of ourselves. Okay, so that's that. We could go on, dig deeper into the chapter 9. Let's just finish up with, bounce over to chapter 10, if you will. Let's take a look at verse 14. For by one sacrifice he is perfected for all time, those who are sanctified. And he talks about what that means. And then down to verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, by which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Without faith, no one will see the Lord. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our blood and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, that's the way by which we're going to enter in and live in the presence of the Lord. And the expectation, what we can have out of life in the Spirit, comes back to those three things that we talked about. The manna, actually four things. The incense of His presence, the incense. Actually, it's rather interesting if you go back and study. In Leviticus, the incense is out or is placed this side of the veil of the Holy of Holies. So it looks like the author of Hebrews doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's speaking by revelation of a day that will be where the veil, the incense is placed inside the Holy of Holies, meaning that from the creative life of a human being, the offerings of the incense of praise and worship will be actually in his presence. And talk about the real reality of where things will be accomplished. God will be listening to people who actually then enter into the Holy of Holies and have a life of an incense of prayer unto Him. Those are going to be the real effectiveness and the people that are really going to have effectiveness before God. That's what we're looking for from America, in my opinion. I think America really sadly missing out on some of its great, great heritage. But the great thing here will be the saints and the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God that are in America that will be the great intercessors that will be great, that will greatly change things in His presence. Okay. The second thing, the manna. What you can expect by life in His presence as we come into the Holy of Holies is this amazing, sustainable life quality. You remember the manna, which was in Exodus, I wrote it, 16. They can only gather enough for one day because it's spoiled and would become fetid after one day, right? Yeah. So people were gathering up a whole bunch thinking that I'm going to need more for tomorrow. That wasn't. But this sustaining quality, amazing, that in His presence it never rotted. It was amazing. The Word of God, this is important. The Word of God, the manna of His living presence, His flesh for you, will become your sustenance and your sustaining quality in life. And life in His presence will mean that to you. The third thing is this great rod, right? You remember out of, what was it? I wrote it. Number 17. It's interesting to read that because it goes back to the rebellion, Korah with Moses. And they rebelled and saying, hey, you're killing the Lord's people here with His judgment. And, you know, you're not the only one that's holy around here. We got some people here that, you know, are holy too. So he had them bring one rod from each of the 12 tribes, right? You remember the story. And how he had them, he said, okay, put it in the temple overnight. The rod that buds, whoever's name's on that rod, that's the man that God's going to listen to. And that happened to be Aaron's rod, and happened to be bud with an almond. Budded an almond. So, again, the fruitfulness. What is this signifying for us, mystically for us? Life in his presence here under New Covenant means what? A fantastic ability to produce fruit. And it will be amazing. God produced fruit. You know, Galatians chapter 5. How can you produce the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? How can you do all those things? You can't. Just like the Old Testament law. We can't do those things. But the amazing thing of New Covenant, of Christ within you, is producing this fruit. It is producing those qualities. I recognize it. I see it. I'm blessed by it in you. So fruitfulness in his presence is also a distinguishing aspect of a walk and a life with God. And this is very, very key, because how will we be known? You will know them by their works of miracles? By their fantastic giving? By their thaumaturgy? Miracles. How will you know them? You're going to know them by their fruit. See, the wolf comes to steal. The wolf comes with the sheep calling, but inwardly he's a ravenous wolf. So I'm always mindful of where the wolf is, because the wolf shows up a lot around sheep. Nice bait. Yeah. But as the scriptures talk about, see, inwardly, the work of the Spirit hasn't been accomplished. The fruit, Aaron's rod, the budding quality of the God-given fruit, which is ours in Christ in his presence, has not been wrought in the wolf. And then the final thing, of course, is the, I guess we covered them all. The manna, Aaron's rod, oh, the word, the tablets of stone. And this goes back, of course, you know, when Moses received the tablets, came down the mountain and all that. Under New Covenant, of course, Paul talks extensively, particularly third chapter of 2 Corinthians, right? About how you become the tablets of stone. On your heart is written the word of God. No longer just the tablets of stone or a book. And how people have this sacred book and such. They never dig into it. They never find out who is the book revealing. But it's upon your hearts, upon your lives, that the word is being written. Again, a very mystical exchange of old law, tablets, stone, very, very physical, to New Covenant, which is the word being written on the tablets of human flesh. Again, all these things then are life in his presence, and what we can expect by living in the realm of New Covenant, which is life in the Spirit. All right. So we covered a lot of ground today. We hope that then some of these things will allow you to reflect, and that the Holy Spirit will move upon us and stir these things up, so that we'll see that every day is a progressive revelation and unfolding of more life in him, so that we'll walk continually on higher ground. All right? Lord bless your hearts. Amen. Good.